Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Hardcore Podcast. My name is Romy Dare and I'm your host, and in this podcast we chat about everything. My goal with this podcast is to leave no topic in the dance world not spoken about. The Hardcore Podcast is a safe and honest space to have these conversations with professionals and pre-professionals in the industry. To stay up to date with all the latest Hardcore Podcast information and news, please head over to our Instagram, which is at the_hardcore, HARDCORPS _podcast. Everything's going to be posted there, from guests to news to anything. And without further ado, let's get on to the episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. In this week's episode, I'm joined with Maeve Nolan. Hi, Maeve.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thanks for coming on. I'm excited for this episode because I don't know, I feel like you're just going to be such a great guest. And yeah.
Not going to lie.
What are you going to say?
I'm fangirling.
You can't fangirl because I'm already the fangirl. I'm fangirling.
Like doing the intro, I was like, oh my God.
No, stop. That's too funny because, okay. I mean, I think I said this to you, but it's a funny story because, like, anyone who kind of knows me in real life, I'm a little bit of an Instagram stalker. Like, so, like, I can't help it. Like, I just know people before I meet them, and then I meet them in real life and I'm, like, freaking out. And this has just happened so much because I'm suddenly around all these people that are, like, really good. And back in, like, 2015, I used to, like, stalk people on Instagram who I thought were really good. You being one of them. I remember when, I don't know how I found you, but you did Jenna. And am I correct that you were, like, a finalist or something? Did you win it? How I know. And then I started following you.
Oh, my gosh. Back in the day. I think that was, like, December 2016.
That's what I mean. Like, I was some 16-year-old fangirl. And here we are. Oh,
here we are. Here we are. No, I do the same. Like, I will be like, oh my gosh, so-and-so and so-and-so. And then, like, people will be like, oh, are they your friend? And I'm like, no, I just stalk them on Instagram and I know everything about them.
Yeah, because I watch their stories every day.
Yeah.
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 I feel you. But I always just find that so funny. Like, I'm always like, wow. But anyway, let's get into the quickfire round so people can actually be like, who's this girl, Maeve? Some people will know who you are, but like maybe not the whole internet.
No, not at all. They'll be like, excuse me, who is this?
Okay, first question, which is, where are you currently?
I'm currently in a place in the UK called Newcastle-under-Lyme, Stoke-on-Trent area. And I'm up here working with the New Vic Theatre. That's where I am.
Lovely. We'll get into that in a bit because I'm excited to hear how that all happened. And next question, which is, what is your least favourite ballet step?
See, I feel like it goes to pauses. Because I like to give things the benefit of the doubt. Some days, like, the pirouettes are just flowing. Some days I'm jumping really high. And I was really thinking about it, and it just comes down to adage. Like, I really wish that I was an adage girly, but a développé devant, I think, is my least favorite step because it's just, I don't know if it's the hips or if it's the body, I don't know, but it just never felt right. And I think I don't hate it, but it's definitely not like my favorite step.
Yeah.
I don't mind an arabesque or a développé à la seconde.
Yeah.
It's just the devant one. It's just so difficult, especially trying to get that height.
Yeah. So you find, okay, because it's interesting. I don't know, like I would have never thought that. Because I feel like you do a really nice adage. Like I've never thought, she looks like she's struggling.
No, I really like adage is medicine. Like for me, I'm like, I have to do it. It's really good for me, but it's just my least favorite like
Thing to do.
exercise in class. Like Italian fuertes, I was teetering on saying that, but some days you're really sort of getting that balance. So it honestly, it's the devil paid of one.
They
The
definitely
devil
paid the
paid of
bond.
one. Yeah.
No, it's not nice.
No.
No, especially on video.
Oh, don't get me started about the angles. Like, it's just, it looks like my legs are bent and I'm really trying. And especially with point shoes, like, oh,
Yeah, I agree.
no.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard because adage is something, especially if it's like not your favorite, but you know how good it is for you, you just have to do it.
Because what's yours? What's your least
Adage.
favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, lifting my legs in general and holding them, I just really struggle with. And I really like it's a cry for help at this point because I don't know how to make it work.
Yeah.
And I've kind of just come to the conclusion that it's never going to be by my ears, but like I need to be able to like hold it at a respectable height and like not
That's
fall
yeah.
over, like, and with a stretch foot. And then I start to think like, oh, well, maybe if I like really stretch my foot and I have like a little bit of a lower leg, but like the leg's like, and the feet's
Yeah.
like, I can like maybe get away with it. But it's a work in progress, but I find that really hard. Like it's my biggest challenge,
Yeah.
I'd
Yeah.
say.
No, I completely feel that. I don't know, like
So.
I've asked so many teachers for so many tips, and over the years my Alice Akond has gone better, but it's just the Devon for some reason. Like
Yeah, I
it's a
know.
struggle.
It is life of a dancer, I guess. It is what it is. Next question, which is, what is your favorite piece of choreography you've either seen or performed?
Okay, so recently I've been quite obsessed with the Jungle music video back on 74. And the choreography is by Shay. I don't know the last name of the choreographer, but it's like that, like it was really popular on TikTok, and there's one dancer in it that is like, I mean, all the dancers are stunning, but recently it's like, it's more of a commercial sort of like jazz piece.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the music, I don't know if it's the choreography, it's just everything.
I'm gonna write
And I
this
just,
down so I can look up past that. Oh my God.
I know you would know this. You would
I'm
know
sure.
this. You would have seen this.
Okay.
It's just, it replays. I just watch it over and over again.
What's it
And
called?
it, so it's Back on 74 is, I think, the title of the song by
Yeah.
Jungle, and it's the music video. And
Okay.
it's just, I love a good music video. I love a good dance moment in music videos. And this one was just so well done
Yeah.
that I just, honestly, I've learnt the whole thing, and I listen to it daily. It gets me in like a good zone. Yeah, because when I was thinking of choreography, there's so many things that I could say, but I think
Yeah.
this is my recent
Recent.
obsession.
Okay. I'm gonna look at it after. I mean, if it was on TikTok, I'm sure I've seen it.
You would have seen it,
It's ringing
honestly.
a bell. It is ringing a bell. The Back on 74 title, that's ringing a bell.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think. No,
It's
okay,
the
I'll have
like,
to search it. I feel like, yeah, I feel like, oh, okay, I think, okay, I'm going to search it, but it is ringing a bell. And
okay, you need
it was a
to.
trend. People were dancing. Was there a bit of choreography?
I think it was mostly people were obsessed with the dancers in it. Like,
Okay.
I don't know if people were recreating it. I definitely learned it, but like it was just like,
The
I
way
think
they
people were like
moved.
reposting it and being like, oh
Okay.
my gosh, which I think is like so nice in pop culture that like people are sort of, that sort of dance moment is coming back where they're like, oh my gosh, look at these dancers. Like, how do they move like this? I think it's like so nice that it's coming back. I mean, not that it went away, but it's nice to see it in the pop culture
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the
area.
appreciation for like being able to move.
I think it's really nice. And yeah, seeing that like uplifting, like, woo, like, is really nice to see. I agree. Mm. Next question, which is, what is your favorite piece of dancewear?
I'm gonna be a ballet dancer for a second and be point shoes, honestly. Okay. Like, is it technically dancewear? It's more shoewear, but like, I love point shoes. I love my energetics point shoes. If we're talking like dancewear pieces, I've got like this pair of trash bag pants that I got when I was like 14 from a girl in Romania. She made it, handmade it, sent it over to me in Australia. I've had it ever since.
Wow.
Still like perfect condition.
So
don't know if she's still operating. Don't know what she's doing.
That's so cool.
But that's like my favorite token of dancewear, I would say.
Yeah.
And yeah, my point shoes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm. I think one other person said point shoes in the whole podcast. Like, that has come up once before.
Because
I thought it was interesting.
Is it like, because I was thinking, well, leotard is something that I would be, it's a go-to.
Yeah.
But then I think leotards for me, I wear like the same leotards.
You do. It's true.
So like, I don't really like go out of like my little like collection.
Fair enough.
And they're not even like, I don't think they're like available to buy anymore. Like, I bought them secondhand and different things like that. So yeah, my point shoes and my trash bag pants, honestly.
Love it. Love that. And last question of the quick fire round is, what is your favorite food?
Now, this is hard because I feel like I like all food in general, if it's gluten-free, because obviously me being celiac needs to be gluten-free. And I think at the moment, a go-to is soup because it's winter. But generally, like, I don't really guess pizza. I love sushi.
Mm.
I love nachos. I'm not really fussed. As long as it's gluten-free, I'm happy.
Okay.
Yeah. What's yours? Because I always struggle with that question.
It's a hard question because I'm a big foodie. I think
it depends
currently,
on the place too.
Place. Also, I just feel like different like part times of life. Like, at the moment it's winter and I'm also in my soup era. Like, I'm making soup every week. I'm having a different soup situation. And so I've been really enjoying soup. And then I've really been enjoying, have you been to the Dusty Knuckle? Oh, okay, it's not gluten free.
They do a soup. Okay.
So like, I'm sure you can have the soup. I'm sure it's gluten free.
Okay.
But they do really good focaccia.
I think I've seen this.
Yeah. I love bread. And their focaccia is just like, I don't know what to say about it other than that, like, it's amazing and I love it. Yeah. But I also love sushi. I love a good pizza. I love all. I love peanut butter.
Peanut butter is a staple.
Okay, well, what's your favorite peanut butter?
Now I go through phases. I love a Pippin nut.
Okay, good.
I love a Meridian.
A Meridian, bold choice.
Yeah.
I'm not really a fan.
I like, it honestly depends on my mood. I usually go for the ones that are 100% peanuts.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, I love, I think it's like the, I'm not sure if it's Tesco home brand or something.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember, but it's like the cheapest peanut butter you can get there.
Yeah. And it's 100%
is, like, 100%
nut
peanuts. Yeah.
I think I know just, which one it is.
I don't know the name.
It's good and drizzly.
Like, yeah. And like, sometimes I'm in a smooth mood.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm in a crunchy. Usually it's crunchy.
Okay.
What about you? Are you a smooth or a crunchy?
Oh, I'm a smooth. I'm a drizzler. I like peanut butter for drizzling.
Okay.
Like a yogurt bowl. I mean, I do like it on toast, but I like it smooth because I feel like I can do more with it. that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's true.
At the moment, I've got two, Pip and Nut all the way. They do a sweet and salty one.
Yeah.
That's incredible. In yeah. both crunchy and smooth. Incredible. They've also brought out an almond butter that's like salted caramel almond butter.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Incredible. That's what I had
they
to
used
say.
To do, they mm-hmm. used to do a pumpkin spice one that was
yeah,
like
that
amazing.
Was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved all their little limited edition. They always do like little limited edition like nut butters.
Yeah.
I was obsessed.
They're gone. Like now they're all gone, obviously, because they're limited, but
I know.
Yeah.
Sad times. Okay. Let's move into the real questions. What was your journey into ballet like? Then going into your transition into vocational school, moving to the UK. Let's talk about this, those years of your life.
So I started in like a local school in Sydney called Dance North Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And like how I initially got into dance was I did a jazz class and I didn't like it. I was like, this is too much. I think those
mm-hmm.
boys in the class, they were really noisy. I didn't like the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum was going to take me out. And then the dance teacher was like, Miss Danny. She was like, no, keep her. Put her in ballet. I think she'll like ballet instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I loved it ever since. So I was 11. I
yeah.
was like really enjoying ballet. I had a few of my ballet teachers went to Tammy Pearson's. So when I was like, I think 13, I started their transition program
mm-hmm.
and I loved it because before I was doing sort of like only a few hours a week of ballet. And then I went to Tanya's and I did like a day a week and then transitioned into their full-time program under Lucinda Dunn, because she'd just recently taken over artistic director. And I loved it. It was sort of one of those things that I was just so grateful to be doing what I loved every day. And then around like the end of 2016,
mm-hmm.
I entered into like a Cicchetti ballet competition called BBM Youth Support.
Mm-hmm.
And I won the award. The award was a bursary that would like fund you to go to the UK for a month.
Mm.
And so at that time I was looking at Europe as an option because I'd done Australian Ballet School interstate program, but I really sort of was intrigued by Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I think January 2017, I went over to the UK with my mum.
Mm-hmm.
I went over to the UK with my mum in January 2017 and I was just going to take classes with the different schools in the UK, so English National, Elmhurst, Royal Conservatoire in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and I had like one of the auditions for Royal Ballet School, and I wanted to take class at Pineapple, and I'd heard all these things,
mm-hmm.
Which like I remember taking a Pineapple class my first full day in London,
mm-hmm.
and I was so jet lagged. And like it was a horror story. Like I fainted and then I vomited and like I was like 16, like so embarrassed. And then I was also doing like a European, like Germany and the Netherlands sort of tour as well. With the rest of my like school, a few girls and boys from my school in Tanya's.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I had English National the first week, and I sort of went in, and I think I was quite naive because I thought I was just taking classes with them, sort of like a workshop,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. But I didn't realize that like that was sort of code for like auditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that you'd be seen, but I didn't know it'd be sort of like an audition. And then I think on like my first day or like the second day, Miss Saidi, who was Samira Saidi, was the director at the time. She sort of came to my mum at the end of the day and was like, look, we're really interested in her. We'd like her to start straight away. And my mum was like, okay, this is great news. Thank you so much. But we've got this whole tour sort of planned.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we said, we'll think about it. We'll come back to you. We'll go on the tour. And she's like, yeah, go for it. And then during the tour, I was like, yeah, no, I love English National. I love London. I've got some family there, so it worked out. And then I just stayed in the UK because after the tour, I started in the March of 2017 and I went into first year at the end, and I just followed through to the end of the year and then just continued until I graduated in summer 2019. And I was really lucky because at the time at school, I got to work with the company in my second and third year. So I did like the Nutcracker tours, Swan Lake tours, Cinderella in the Round. Yeah, so it was like a great opportunity. So then when I graduated, I sort of already was familiar with the company. And yeah, and since then I just sort of, I've always gravitated to London because I just fell in love with the city. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sort of my journey.
Lovely. What was the biggest challenge moving to the UK? Did that feel quite difficult?
I got asked this recently, and honestly, I was 16 and I just sort of was like, okay, I will live here now. I wasn't really, I think looking back, because I'm now like 23, looking back, I realized how young I was and how impressionable I was. I think the biggest struggle was me sort of, I was 16 and I didn't really have my own full-formed identity. So I was really impressionable. Not that I did anything bad or anything, but I just realized now that I was so young.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, it is, I didn't young really think much about it.
Okay. I mean, that seems to be like the going theme, and like I feel the same. Like I mean, I didn't move halfway across the world at 16. I just moved like 10 hours away. But I think, I mean, everyone's so different. And I don't think I ever really thought about it either.
No, it's just one of it those. Was just,
well, you're just excited to do what you love to do.
Yeah.
And it did fit. Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Like, if it feels like a natural progression of your journey, it doesn't, you don't feel like you're really fighting something.
Yeah. It was strange as well, because like I think because I've got family over here as well, I although I didn't have my immediate family, and I didn't really say goodbye to like my friends back home, because I just sort of suddenly it was like, oh, Maeve's staying. It I don't think it really hit me until I graduated that like I did that, because it was when I sort of it was such a strange sort of roller coaster of all different emotions that you just sort of like, I've always been the type to just get on with it and like roll with the change. And I think because we did Gen A in December 2016, and I got to like meet people from the UK as well. So it was like just sort of this sort of fascination, and I was just so curious to learn and so eager to just like go and like be amongst the ballet world that, honestly, I don't think much really went through my brain at that moment.
Yeah. But that's good. Like, I think that's good, because then you didn't have that, like, stopping you. Like, it wasn't a block of, like, thinking about, like, oh, this is going to be really difficult to move so far away from home. Because it is, like, I mean, it's difficult, but it's also something, maybe it's a personality thing. Like, some people just maybe adapt to it better. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I think when I was a kid, we moved houses quite a bit.
Okay.
So I sort of knew how to move and like change my environment and like create a new environment. So I think if I had different circumstances, I think it would have been different, because you're literally 16 and you're leaving your like immediate family, your parents, and like you're becoming sort of an adult in many ways. And that's why, I mean, like, when I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so little, because I meet 16-year-olds now and you sort of, I think at the time you feel so old, but it's like you're, yeah, is honestly so strange and crazy. But I guess in the ballet world, it's sort of the natural progression. So all of your peers are doing the same thing. And I was really lucky that I had a few Aussie girls and Kiwis within me, like within like the boarding house and within the school. So like we could talk to each other about all of the things that, because you feel homesick, and sometimes like speaking to someone from Europe, it doesn't feel the same because they can go home in Easter, whereas like we couldn't. And I don't know, you sort of form bonds with people from your different countries, and you make your own little team over here, which was like helpful.
Well, that's what's nice, I think, about the ballet world is, well, especially, I don't know, I mean, a lot of dancers come out of Australia. So I think as an Australian, like moving outside of Australia, you're really never going to be alone. Like even in rogue places, like there's, no. I feel like there's always an Aussie.
Yeah.
Or like Kiwi, or someone who gets it as well.
Like even up here, like I've met an Australian ballet teacher who lives in Liverpool, and like hearing her story is insane too, because a lot of people are like, why would you ever move here? Like, you're from Australia.
People love to say that.
And I'm like, I understand that, but there's so much, like, there's so much on offer in Australia, but there's, it's something different over here that is really attractive. And yeah, like you'll always find an Australian. If you're not always the only Australian in the room.
Yeah. Pretty much, especially in, I think, the performing arts.
Especially in dance spaces, especially like now.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving into your 3 years at EMB.
Yes.
What was the biggest challenge for you during your training? Because you kind of, because you were doing full time at Tanya Pearson, weren't you, just before you left? But was this much different? Like, not much different. Did you feel like it was a different, it was something you had to, obviously you had to adapt, but what did you feel like was the biggest challenge for you
I think the biggest challenge was me, honestly, because I think when I went into full-time at Tanya's, I was 14 to 16.
Yeah.
And I was still basically like a kid. Whereas from 16 to like 18, you're becoming an adult. So you're going through changes. And I think my biggest struggle was sort of the changes in my body and different things like that. The training is different because you've obviously got, like, I had my first year, I had a Brazilian teacher. Second year, I had a Cuban teacher. And like you get, like, because you're in London, you get a melting pot of different teachers. Whereas in Australia, it's mostly Australian teaching. And like, yeah, like I think nothing really changes too much. I think you're just exposed to a lot more. Like with EMBS, we had a lot of directors coming in and watching things, and you're always sort of at the doorstep of the ballet industry. Like my boarding house was next door to EMB's company studios at the time, so that was probably the difference. And yeah, but I think like the biggest change was me, in a way, like, again, finding my identity, finding just the challenges and changes in my body. I went through my first serious injury there as well, in my shoulder. So I think that was also like a struggle in itself. And yeah, and just growing up, you grow up a lot quicker when you're not with your parents and when you're sort of going into company spaces. So I can't remember the question, but I think that's more or less.
You answer the question perfectly. I really relate to that. And I feel like a lot of people listening, I mean, I think every dancer, I think that's a challenge for every dancer. I mean, it's just part of, well, when I say it's part of it, I don't think it should be part of it, but it's also just, it's a universal experience that I don't think it's talked about enough, honestly. But it comes out in like little micro, like, I don't know, when someone's like not happy or just like doesn't know what they want from themselves, in the sense of like, well, yeah, like when your body's changing, you don't know what, like there's an expectation. There's kind of an expectation.
Yeah.
Teachers will say things. You'll see what other, you'll compare yourself to other girls in your class. But there, that's also like just never going to, like it's never you because it's not you.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to find you, like what you are supposed to be. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, well, because like the environment in itself is sort of like not dictating, but like sort of telling you what you should be.
Yeah.
And I think when you're a dancer that like may or may not fit the mold of what is sort of like the themes that you need to be, it can be really like, I know that I'm the hardest on myself. Like whatever anyone could say to me, I've probably said worse to myself, which is like such a sad thing. But it's like, it is sort of like a universal experience with like dancers.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that is a journey, and like coming to terms with, like I remember teachers being like, you should just be yourself and everything. But it is really hard when you're away from home and like you're something's not working, and you try so drastically to make it work, and you're not really developed in your brain to like sort of think about it clearly, and so you start doing sort of like reckless sort of things, or like you start thinking some thoughts that aren't probably the healthiest, and it's hard to get out of that because you are, you know, managing it day to day alone. It's sad that it is a universal experience, because when I speak to different ballet dancers especially, all of them have some sort of story with their body changing, or like they're the first to point out like the part of their bodies that may not be perfect or may not be the standard. And it's sad, but it's unfortunately like it goes along with the industry that we're in. Went on a little bit of a tangent, but
no, I mean, exactly, like I think like you've hit the nail on the head. I think especially being doing it alone, which is pretty much what everyone, when people are struggling, like they're going through it alone. Even when they are living with parents, like not every, like, it's really easy to conceal those sort of struggles, especially when like maybe physically like nothing drastic is happening.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're not struggling. And I think a lot of people struggle because they're like fighting this, like in a fight of like, I don't know how much I should be doing. I don't know how much, like, you start to question every micro thing you do, and then you have people, someone telling you this and someone telling you that, and then you look in the mirror and you're like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, like I would say, like a lot of those, like I would say when I was 14, a lot of those sort of the comparison, like the thoughts were starting, the control sort of was starting to like manifest.
Okay.
When I was 14, I was still at home. And then it sort of, at 16, I think, was when I sort of was like, oh, like, I need to fix this. It's so true. Like, I think also because we were growing up in a dance space that was very, like, I mean, Instagram, I only got Instagram at 13.
Yeah.
So that was new. So a lot of the things that you learned were through what people told you, like what teachers told you.
Yeah.
And I think because it's such a young industry and there's so many young students, that's sort of how it continues to like happen, because I mean the science of dance and of like nutrition and things like that is coming. But I think we're still a long way to go, because there's obviously sports nutrition for like runners and different things like that, but there wasn't a whole lot on dance. So you're taking in every word of what your teacher says, who isn't qualified in nutrition or in physio or in fitness. And yeah, it's, I think at any age, and even like parents as well, like I think at any age you're like susceptible because you just want it so much that you're willing to like do anything to make yourself fit into the mold that will like carry you through a career. But I think with age you sort of start to, like I was quite young when I sort of started to realize this wasn't healthy. And I mean, it's going to have lasting implications, but for the most part, like I was very lucky to have had those realizations quite young before things could have gotten worse or different things like that. But
It's hard. It's tough.
Yeah.
How did you, how, like, what do you think helped you overcome, like, you know, realize that you kind of maybe weren't in the best place? I don't know if that makes sense.
I don't really know, because I think it was only really until like this year that I met a lot of like people that weren't in the dance industry. And I was talking to them about like certain things or like certain behaviors. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really unhealthy. Like how I look at food, or how, I remember I said to my friend, I was like, oh, I'm going out to dinner tonight. And she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, but I'm really hungry now, but like, it's fine. I'll save room for later. She goes, well, if you're hungry now, eat now, and then you can just eat less at dinner if you're not hungry, or you can eat the full meal if you're still hungry. And I remember looking at her like, this sounds so simple, but I can't. And it was like one of those things of like, wow, this is carried through into all sort of sectors of my life. And meeting people with such a healthy relationship to food and to their body, I was like, oh my gosh, I think even though I'm much better than what I was, I'm still not at like a very balanced way. And so that was probably about like last year, at the end of last year. So this year has been like really sort of like been really intentional on working on that relationship. But it's, yeah, it's definitely like, I think I was 19 when I started to realize that I was burnt out and that I really was not happy. And I needed to make a change. So yeah, I don't really know, because it's honestly been a bit of a journey like this.
Yeah, of course.
I feel like for the most part I went through different stages of going through a certain issue and then feeling sort of normal and then uncovering a new issue, and then it's like an onion sort of being peeled back.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very much kind of like a roller coaster. Well, it's just not a linear journey. Like you that's the thing. You'll work on something, you'll be like, oh, okay, this is a really big step in like the way my brain's thinking about this. And then something will happen. It's like, oh.
Yeah. And I think because for the longest time food was something that I could control, the moment I get stressed, it's something that like, it's like a, like my body image and like my food is something that is so easy for me to just instantly like switch back on. And so I have to actively work on not doing that and sort of sitting with whatever feeling I might be feeling. Oh, I actually feel anxious. What will actually help me right now? I should probably eat something that will make me feel better, because my anxiety might be spiking because I haven't eaten today or something. So it's like finding those ways to like actively just fit with the uncomfortable sort of feelings, like which in the moment is like, oh, it's a bit like adage. It's like the medicine.
Yeah.
Like, you know that you have to do it, but it's just like, can I be anywhere but here right now? Yeah, hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, makes complete sense. I mean, I'm sure so many people will relate to that because, again, unfortunately, it's a common feeling. But also, like, I think talking about it is like really helpful to listen, but also just like, yeah, I mean, it's so, I think it's always nice, like, when you find someone who it, like, you relate, like, you relate to that in a feeling. Yeah, like, I completely relate to everything you're saying. And it's just one of those things that, I don't know, like, it's just something you have to work on. It's just, I think it's just like a constant something you have to work on.
Yeah.
But it's difficult because, I don't know, and then,
Oh, sorry, you go.
No. I think you're about to say what I'm about to say, so you can say it.
It's hard when you're still in the same industry.
Yeah.
And you're still in the environment because I think for the longest time, when I was 19, I was really unhappy and I wanted to make a change. And so I made a change and I left the environment. And then I came back to the environment thinking that I was better. But I was faced with all of the same problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like how I think about it is, say it's a hot summer's night and there's all these mozzies out.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your mozzie repellent on, but it's sort of a layer of protection, but you can still get bitten.
Mm-hmm.
And that can swell and that can really hurt. And it's almost like that's how re-entering into that environment sort of felt. It was like I was getting bitten, I was hurt, and I was sort of swollen. And mm-hmm. it's sort of like learning to just like, honestly, that analogy can just shift to the side because it doesn't make sense in the next one I'm going to say. But it is difficult when you're in the environment that is still, like, you feel like you've made all these lengths forward.
Yeah.
But then you're in an environment that is a lot slower because it's more of a environmental change than, like, you know, a fast-paced sort of change.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my daily struggle.
Yeah.
It's a daily struggle, and I just, like, it's, I don't know what to say. Like, it's so hard. Like, I really feel that, like, you feel like you're making progress. Like, you know, your brain says, it's like, oh, okay, wow. Like, you know, I can do this 2 years ago. This would have, like, maybe freaked me out. Or, like, look at me go, you know, not thinking about this, like, when I'm on my run, or, like, not constantly checking my watch, or, like, just, like, little, like,
the little things.
Just, like, really tiny things. Or even just, like, the way you might, like, talk to yourself in your head around, like, food, exercise, like, productivity.
Yeah.
I don't know. All those things I struggle with, so I get it. And then you're like, oh, but the standard is still this, and that has not changed in the time that I've tried to make progress. And it's still, like, people still put this on a pedestal and still value these qualities.
Yeah.
And it's, I think the hardest thing is finding, like, do I fit in this? As I am, like, can I fit in this industry as an improved version of myself? Like,
yeah. Or do I, do I want to?
Yeah. Well, that's the, and that's the other thing. And it's like, it's difficult.
It's difficult because, like, you want to work, like, I love what I do, but at the same time, there's sometimes, there's this thing in my brain that's like, in order for me to get to the places that I could go to, I would have to sacrifice a lot of the things that I've really worked hard on in the last few years. And I know I could easily just switch and just go into that, but I would sort of be chipping away at, like, my own, like, morals in a way, my own integrity, because I'm going against, although I'm going to something that I love, I'm going against who I am in order to, like, go towards it. And I find that, like, battle in my brain of, like, oh, just come on, like, you can just do it. Like, it's fine. But I think the longer and longer I've sort of spent on cultivating the relationship I have with myself and sort of my like my routines and everything, and just like learning more about myself, I don't want to sacrifice me anymore. And I think the older I get, it will probably continue to grow further, like that sort of self-preservation, I guess you could say. But it's tricky because all I want to do is dance and all I want to do is work. And when you don't really fit like a mold of some sort, whatever direction you are in the dance space, and whatever your obstacle is, when you just, you know, you can get over it, but if you do, you'll sacrifice yourself for it. It's that battle of whether it's worth it or not, that is just so tiring sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's Hopefully exhausting. It does. Yeah. It makes complete sense. And I mean, I would be interested to hear if like people have seen like feel the same way. I feel like it's quite a hard thing to admit that, like, again, even I don't talk about this that much with people, that kind of, I guess, like that exhausting feeling. And I think that's maybe what I mean when I say like plodding along, like, yeah. It's like, it's that feeling where I just feel like I'm constantly trying to fit into a space that you have to sacrifice so much for, which I think like like at the moment, I don't feel like I'm sacrificing a lot. Like, and I'm like, oh, Romy, you could sacrifice so much more. Like, get over it.
Yeah.
Get over the bridge.
Yeah.
But then it's difficult because it's like, and then this is where I think like with, you know, maybe you have to go through like phases, like it's okay to go through phases.
Yeah.
But it's also hard because especially when you spend so much time like rebuilding, you know, working on things that you used to like really struggle with, to then go back and think, is it actually possible to do this in a better way and not like go back to like, I don't know, like a bad habit sort of situation.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm always thinking, can I do this in a better way where I'm not going to go to bed hating my life?
Yeah, or like hating myself, or like,
or just like hating myself, or just like just really like, surely there's a way where, I don't know, like I don't know, like I feel like that's what I'm trying to like find, is like, I don't know, is that like balance where, it's so hard to explain. I don't know how to explain.
No, I completely get you. It's like that. It's, I feel like I'm always trying to find like a balance between like having myself meet my, like, I, like, okay, I'm just gonna go on a tangent. When I was 19 and I got my goals, I had sort of 18, 19, I sort of became a professional ballet dancer, and I was like, yeah, this is great. I'm doing what I love and I'm working. And then I was like, actually, who am I, for one? And I don't know if I love this. I'm terrified every day, and I'm really sad, and I don't know if this is me. I don't even know who, like, I am. I've built this sort of like mold or this like skin on me over time, and it's not fitting anymore. And I think it's finding that balance of, I know that I'm not that, I don't fit into that skin like I did before. I don't know what I'm going to be in the next few years, and it's like trying to navigate the like day to day, or like the year to year of, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. This is why I'm a dancer. Explain through movement. Well, I completely get what you're trying to say in terms of finding that that balance of like working hard towards a goal that sometimes can be unattainable and sometimes you can knock it out of the park, but then also accepting the fact that you're only human and that like you have one body. And I think I always, whenever I'm really struggling, I have to like remind myself actively that I have one body. I've got multiple opportunities in this lifetime, but I have one body. And if I'm not taking care of this like vessel that's taking me through life, then it's just going to like lessen the opportunities that are going to be acceptable to me. It's like I'm not putting fuel in my car, so then my car isn't running. And that's something that like is an active
that thought.
Like reminder, but it's it's honestly so exhausting. Like sometimes when I'm like having a mental health sort of spiral, the first thing, if anyone's like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I'm overwhelmed and I'm just exhausted. And it's like the cogwheels of my mind and my heart just are like, I'm just like, they're going and I'm really tired that they just keep running. And it's finding that balance of like letting them run, but not letting them spiral.
I feel like it's constantly just like trying to like keep things running and not spiral.
Finding balance in life, who knew, would be so tricky.
I know. But I did actually see something really interesting. I don't know if you saw this guy. His name's like, is it Johnny Davies? And he ran the line or the London Underground lines in 11 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So some days he was running like 70 kilometers. Some days like 30, no break, no days off.
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. And he was training for them like for months. Anyway, he made a really good video about balance and talking about how essentially that balance, okay, I think he used the word overrated, but I think it depends, like it just depends like how you want to take that. But essentially, the gist of his video was that in order to achieve something that most people can't achieve, it's very difficult to be balanced in order to achieve that because you have to be extreme.
You're constantly like this.
Yeah. And I found that really interesting because I feel like the word and talking about balance is like thrown around a lot. And I think like for me, I've struggled to find like what balance looks like, especially that going into the pandemic and like trying to avoid not being burnt out in like an environment where I feel like I've got 110 things going on in my brain, but I still want to achieve things and achieve this one goal that I have without feeling like without giving up because I'm burnt out. So like there has to be, it's like that balance. And I found it just really fascinating because I think, at least for me, I don't know how it's felt for you, but like you feel like you have to be balanced in terms of like, I don't know, like having a social life or, you know, your training, your routine. Yeah. And like sometimes I feel guilty because I'll have weeks where I haven't done, like the whole week has just been dedicated to either trying to earn money or trying to train. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Some, not that people are going to like going around making comments, but like people will talk about balance. I'm like, oh, like I've been quite like unbalanced this week or.
Yeah.
I don't know. And sometimes I feel guilty that like I haven't done that. But then when I'm too balanced, I don't know what too balanced is. I'm saying too balanced, but that's for me, that's been like when I've had too much fun.
Yeah.
And then I feel guilty for that. And I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like, so after this, so I had a show today and I was speaking to our flutist, I think that's how they say. And she was asking me, she was like, do you squeeze your muscles when you go into a balance? Like when you hold something, do you squeeze your muscles? And I sort of was saying to her, like, over time, your muscles sort of start to like strengthen in the right places and your body just starts to like lock into place. And I said, you're just really like going into this axis point of like finding this one position that just like you can just hold that balance for like a sweet amount of time. And I said to her, like, it doesn't always happen, but when it does, it's like this, like, oh, yes.
Oh, it's amazing.
And I feel like that's like the, that's something that it shouldn't be all the time. Because otherwise, when you find it, it's not as exciting. And I mean, my mom used to always be like, everything in moderation. And as I'm sort of learning and like growing in like my 20s, I'm realizing that that like applies to a lot of things. Like you just go through phases. Like, I mean, even the, even nature goes through phases of like cycles and growth and destruction. I feel like if the earth isn't balanced, then how can we expect us as also being nature and from nature? How can we expect ourselves to be balanced? But yeah, I always, I've always sort of been like, I'm always searching for balance. But I think as I'm getting up, getting older, it's like, I completely feel you with the social life, with the money. I was really struggling with earning like enough money because obviously with freelance, you're working a part-time job more or less, or I was working full-time, but then also juggling any dance sort of things available at the time. And you sort of take time off work to do the dance stuff, or you take time off work to do something that would be really good for your career. But, you know, it's juggling that that moment. Like, yeah, juggling the day-to-day is so tiring. But it's, hopefully, it's going to be worthwhile one day. Like, yeah, that's really true about balance. I think it is probably a really overrated term. Yeah,
but I, it's just so, it's fascinating because I think, like, we are, we're, like, kind of sold this picture that we need to, like, live a balanced life, which is, but I think it's really hard, and I think especially in classical ballet, well, I think especially in something where you want to achieve something that's really hard to achieve.
You have to, you're always teetering on that line.
Like, and that's what I, it's really hard because, like, I don't know, it's just, like, trying to find, but then, like, what, at least for me, I think it's just finding things that's, like, okay, well, how, like, what's the point, like, I always do it in weeks of, like, okay, how much can I do in a week that means I'm actually going to be able to achieve the things I want to do the week after and, like, actually keep on going without bashing out a load of, or just like sacrificing a lot for like a week, whether that be time with other people, or it means like saying no to a lot of things in terms of like social occasions because I'm trying to fit in training, or, you know, try and do as many classes as I can, go to bed early, wake up early, all this stuff. How long can I do that before I have a week where it's like I'm exhausted and I can literally just do the bare minimum?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to like have those weeks. So it's, I don't know, I find that that's my challenge with like being balanced, because I can get very, I have, and I'm, I feel like you're kind of similar, but like
the guilt.
I'm like quite obsessed with like being a certain way, doing certain things, having a schedule. Yeah. I love to say no to things. Jail me.
I mean, if it's getting to your goal, like if,
like, I will, I have, I'm not a people pleaser in that sense. I will be like, I will say, no, sorry, that's too late.
Yeah.
My bedtime. No. Nah.
Yeah.
So I must say, do stuff the next morning.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm much more of a morning, I'm much more of a morning person, but I think I have been saying yes to a lot more things in terms of like social, but also I can, because my day-to-day has changed, and like the amount of guilt I get from not being productive enough even on my days off. But that's something that like I'm learning to, like, it I have to really remind myself, like, it's okay to have a slow day. It's okay to, like, not always be, like, even at the moment, I've been on a really big, like, reading kick. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to finish all the books that I have by the end of the year. And I've been reading, like, morning and night and everything like that. And it's still, like, although it's not my career, it's still something that is probably not the greatest, like, working habits, or, like, probably not the greatest way of, like, getting to my goal. But I know that it will be, I'll be so satisfied with myself when I finish the year having read all these books. So it's like, I guess it's weighing up whether which one is worth it. Like, the reading one is a bit of a, like, probably not, it's worth it to me at this moment, but in the grand scheme of things, it probably isn't. But it's not doing me any harm. It's only giving me more knowledge or more ways to think. So, but I could, like, it's just, I think at this moment I have no, like, wisdom, because I'm currently, like, going through it, and I'm like,
whoa, you're like,
how do I navigate this situation? But I think, yeah, I always thought that when I was a student, you were only really balancing sort of schoolwork and dance, or you were only really balancing, like, certain areas of your life. So it was a lot easier, and it was a lot more black and white. It's almost like you're balancing on a tightrope. But I think as you get older and become more independent, there's way more things you need to balance and juggle in your life. But, like, it gets to the point where I'm like, what does it even mean to find balance while juggling? Because there's never a point at which all of it is up in the same, like, up in the air at the same time, or in the hands at the same time. Because otherwise it wouldn't be called juggling. It'd be a completely different thing. I feel like that's just the representation of being an adult, especially in, like, a freelancing dance industry space as well. I mean, I'm just lucky that I don't have kids at this point, because I know it'll be way harder. But
but it's,
I feel you on that though.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, like, this, I feel like this month, especially, like, going into Christmas and going into winter, I've made a big, I've, like, made an effort to do more things with people, because I know that I do, like, generally feel better. Because, you know, it's harder when, you know, the days are darker, and it's, I feel like it's really colder. Easy to isolate yourself, and it's colder. But it's finding that thing. It's like, I don't know. It's also just, like, working out, and this is, like, how we were talking about before, working on, like, things that you struggle with, like, trying to fix those, or just, like, work on those things that you struggle with and think, okay, why do I feel like I need to do this? Like, am I still capable of achieving, like, getting the things done that will, you know, contribute to my long-term goal if I do do this? Or is it going to completely take it away? How often can I do this and still not feel like I'm falling, like, behind or something? Like, I don't know.
Well, it's just, like, it's part of being sort of a goal-orientated, sort of, like, driven person is, like, what, like, how I do it is, like, I, for the month, or, like, for the different sort of season, I work out what goal I'm focusing on. So, like, I have, like, three different goals. And so then this month, I'm, my biggest goal is maintaining my body and my health to get through this contract. Because it's over winter and we're doing a lot of shows. So it's sort of like my different goals sort of get put down.
Oh, I like that one.
It's like a triangle.
Almost.
Yeah, like, it's like a, because one of my friends said to me, for one, she was like, why do you always have to improve? And why do you always have to have a goal? And it sort of made me really think of, like, well, actually, why do I feel this? Like, why do I feel this need to, like, it's like something you just can't explain, this need to just, like,
to just work.
To work, or, like, to achieve something.
To improve.
And,
Yeah.
And like it's it doesn't really for me it covers all of the my whole life, like because I think before it was a lot simpler because it was my dance, but now I'm finding that it's like I want to be the best at everything. And I was reading a good book, it's like here or there, but it was just talking about like the art of suffering. And it was just sort of being like, yeah, like this is life. And I think in that book I was like, oh yeah, like at the end of the day we are only human, but it's just hard to always be thinking of that when your natural instinct is to like go out and do your best at everything and like get a personal best. Like I get a personal best every day when I'm walking up a hill to work. Like I'm like, oh, I did it in 10 minutes, not 15. Like, okay. And it's like those little things where you catch yourself like, I don't really need to be doing this, but it helps me get through the day. Yeah.
I feel you. It's like that self-compare. It's like you're in competition with yourself.
Yeah.
Like I definitely feel that. And that's something, yeah. I think it's
It's
also
just
just part, yeah,
certain
it's,
personalities.
yeah.
It's, and it's like it can be healthy, but then it can also easily not be. And so
That's
it's just
the thing.
finding that fine line of like how big of a gap it is between the both of them. And just sort of in each situation, navigating what you can sort of adjust, which side you can adjust.
And like not going like, yeah, finding that
Yeah.
slight that you don't go too far one way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I feel like this is a really good place to wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, like we covered like a whole
We covered
bunch
like
of
a
different
whole
things
bunch
from
of stuff,
that.
and I love that. Like, I feel like that was great. I really enjoyed that conversation. But before we finish, do you
Me
have
too.
any last words for listeners? Any advice, any thoughts, feelings, finishing words for today's episode?
I think, I think for, oh my gosh, I'm blanking. One thing that I've recently learned and something that I'm trying to implement into my life and to remember, I think it goes for like any dancer that has struggled with body issues or eating issues. And you can, I think also as dancers, we can really sort of make ourselves feel like the problem and really be hard on ourselves. And it is, you can't control your thoughts or your feelings, but you can control how you react. And it can be with anything within your personal life or your working life or whatever, but that's something that I'm really working on. And just remind yourself that you're only human. You deserve to, I wouldn't say like find peace, but like, I don't know, you deserve to find whatever peace means to you, whether it's more liberation than anything or if it's freedom. And you only have one body. So take care of it, take care of yourself.
I think that's a great place to finish. Thank you so much,
Yeah.
Maeve.
I'll keep talking otherwise.
It's
I
okay,
could go
same.
on for hours.
So that's okay.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you so much for coming on. I'll leave your where to find you on Instagram if that's okay. If you're
Yeah,
up for that, in the
of course.
description below, if anyone has any questions, any burning questions about your life, I'll tell them
Yeah.
to hit you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And no worries, anytime. And thank you to everyone that tuned into this week's episode. You can hear me same time next week. Bye.